Welcome to Fairbanks Real Estate Radio Podcast. This is Fairbanks Real Estate Radio, episode number 6. The topic is working with a realtor. And I've actually done this topic before, but because of some kind of a technical issue, I think the batteries ran out on my microphone or something. I didn't know until I got all done that episode was gone. So anyway, I'm sure this one will be a little bit different from that last one. I've had a little more time to think about it. The first part of this, I guess, is working with a realtor versus doing for sale by owner. Now, working with a realtor, if you're a buyer, is a good deal. It's a pretty awesome deal because you're not the one that has to pay for them. You're not the one that has to pay them, right? Their commission gets split with the realtor representing the seller. So, also you get someone representing you, which is also, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later, but... So, working with a realtor, do you get somebody working full time to help you with the buying with the house buying process? So, and you know, another thing for sale by owner or FSBO, we call them sometimes. I had a kind of a quote that I like to think about once in a while when on this topic. If you're in Fairbanks, you might know Rod's Saw Shop, and they work on my lawnmowers and stuff. And one time, a guy there told me, "I promise I will never sell my own real estate if you promise not to work on your own lawnmowers again." So, I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up. We all stick to our areas of expertise, and realtors do this for a living. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things to know about the market, and there's a lot of expertise that we have. Also, liability. So you just want to keep all of that in mind when you're making that decision. That it's going to be a lot more work than you think it is. Anybody can sell stuff, right? I mean, you can put an end table on Craigslist or whatever, but buying and selling a house is a lot different. That buyer has to feel confident that you're disclosing everything that there is to disclose, and that you're going through all the proper channels to make sure that that it's a fair deal and that everything is up front. So, you know, you just want to keep that in mind. If you're working with a realtor and you're a seller, you actually, on average, make more money than if you're doing for sale by owner and trying to save the commission. That's because you get more exposure. You know, the realtor's marketing your property for you. And by the way, most of them, I mean, this is not to say that it's this way all the time, because every office's business model is different. But most of the time, that realtor or that brokerage is absorbing the cost of all of that advertising. So you're kind of a team. You're in it together, and everybody is working towards the same goal of getting that house sold. Because the longer it sits on the market, the harder it is to sell, and the more that realtor has been spending on advertising. So in that respect, also, that's why having a good sales price, having a fair, you know, attractive sales price is so important right at the beginning. If you're a seller and you're doing for sale by owner, something to consider is that realtors are going to be wanting to show your house anyway. And not that they really want to, but buyers are going to say, "Hey, I saw this one on Zillow or Craigslist or whatever. Can we look at this one?" And then the realtor's got to call up the seller. And I had one of these recently where, you know, it's like, okay, oh, I put that on the list. We'll show that one. We got some other ones we're looking at. I call up the seller and say, hey, we get, you know, I've got some buyers interested in looking at your property. And this lady said, well, I can't. She said, well, how does that work? I said, well, you know, we want to come and look at your house. I don't, you know, what do you mean? She said, well, who pays your commission? And I said, well, there's only a commission if they're buying the house, and it's a cost of the sale, just like anything else. It's negotiated. And she said, well, what's the typical commission? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, it's whatever it ends up being. We negotiate it. And she said, well, I can't afford to pay a commission. It's like, well, how do you even know? You know, there are so many other factors in an offer and you know, all of these different closing costs, and that's one of them. But for me, that particular person was sort of putting the cart before the horse, you know, or it was kind of presumptuous to start talking about commission and how much that person would pay for the house when they hadn't even looked at it yet. So I think, you know, if you're a for sale by owner and, you know, that's a valid choice. People can do that if they want to, if they think they can do that, that's great. But my advice to anybody doing for sale by owner or selling their own house is to let every realtor show it, because the realtors have already sort of vetted those buyers and made sure that they're serious and that they're qualified and everything. So let the realtors show it. And if you know, it's just like any other offer. Either it can work for you and the net, you know, that you make is acceptable, or it's not. So then the commission can be negotiable. Either the buyer sells it, or buyer pays it, or the seller pays it. But don't tell somebody not to look at their house, your house, because they're working with a realtor. I think that person shot themselves in the foot, basically. You know, either an offer is going to work for you or it's not, and you want to look at the final amount of money that you're making as a seller, not at, oh, you know, I can't afford this or that. I can't afford this fee or that thing, or, you know. To me, that doesn't make sense. For a buyer, if you're buying a for sale by owner and you don't have a realtor representing you, you may just love the house and you may be willing to deal with all of this stuff, and that's okay. But for sale by owner sellers love buyers that don't have a realtor, because they sort of feel like they can dictate all of the things, like this is the price and that's it. And, you know, that nobody knows that it's state law that they have to provide disclosures, who pays for what closing costs. They, you know, they'll sort of decide that for you. And if all of that gets taken off your plate, if you're working with a realtor, you sit down with the realtor who's making, and I keep saying realtor because I think it's important to get somebody who's a member of the National Association of Realtors, NAR, who follows the code of ethics. Not every real estate licensee or agent, they call them in other parts of the country, not every one of those is a realtor, and there's a difference. But anyway, where was I? So if you're working with a realtor, that gets taken off of your plate, because you sit down with them and you decide together what kind of an offer you want to make. And then the realtor takes on the negotiating burden, you know, instead of having to. So we say, okay, here's the offer from this buyer, and then they might say, okay, well, I can do this and this, but not that and that, or, you know, this, how about this, or whatever. And then we make a counter offer and bring it back to you. So then that way you don't have to do that face to face, go, oh, this is kind of what I want to offer. Anyway, so that takes that off of your plate, but also there's, you know, it is a full-time job. It takes a month or 2 months. Sometimes in rare instances, I just had one that took over a year, because of some issues, but there's lots of little things to do. Scheduling inspections, scheduling appraisal. There's, you know, ordering preliminary title. There's negotiating the sale, negotiating the terms, negotiating repairs, dealing with strange, unexpected things that come up from the home inspection or from the survey. You know, when do you do that survey? Do you do it up front? Do you do it at the end? There's all kinds of little things that, you know, over the years, we realtors learn from experience the best way to get things done smoothly and efficiently. And we're always still learning new things. I mean, I've been doing this 11 years and I'm still learning every time some new things come up. So if you're buying a for sale by owner with no realtor, just bear in mind that you're going to have to deal with all of that stuff yourself. And it doesn't cost you anything to have a realtor. If you're buying a for sale by owner with a realtor, I think we kind of covered most of that. You have someone to do all of that work for you and to be on your side and to help, help make things work. Yeah, I think that's another thing. I guess we'll get into that in the next section. So the next part here we want to talk about is is it better to have your own representation or to work with the listing licensee, the person whose sign is on the house? You see this house that you like, and you call up the person whose name is on the sign, and they show it to you, and then you make the offer with them. Which one is better? So sometimes you'll hear people saying that you need to get your own buyer representation. And sometimes, and what I would say is that this is a complicated issue. And that's not a very fun answer. But the honest truth is it depends on who your realtor is. You know, you want to make sure that you're working with somebody that you can trust and that you get along well with, and that they we're different from attorneys. And I've gotten in an argument with an attorney over this issue before, because they see representation as like, I want to make my side win and the other side lose. We realtors don't work that way. We work on sort of a win-win situation. What's the best way to make sure that both parties get what they want? And that's how we're different from attorneys. And that's why this issue of representing versus assisting and stuff is complicated. So if you get your own buyer representation, like what we said with for sale by owner, there are advantages and disadvantages. So if you've got your own buyer representation, they go around and they make an offer on a listing. Advantages are that person's looking out for you. They may or may not know the seller. They may or may not know what that person's looking for. So that's an advantage and a disadvantage, right? So if you're, let's say that you, instead, you make an offer with the person representing the seller. The advantage there is, first thing is that there may be what's called a variable rate commission. So let's say the commission is 1% less if the one realtor does both sides. That automatically you don't pay the commission anyway, the seller does. But that automatically makes your offer that much better than any other competing offers where they're working with their own realtor. So there's that. There's also, just keep in mind that the realtor, if they're good, if they know what they're doing, and they're a good, honest person, which I think most people are, that they'll be trying to work towards the best interest of all parties involved. Having your own representation, there is confidentiality. So like, let's say you go to an open house and, you see the realtor whose name is on the sign. They're there at the open house and you say, oh, I love this house. I really want to buy it. I qualify for $1 million. But I only think that this house is worth $130,000. So that's what I want to offer, is $130,000. Everything you told that realtor at that open house is, you know, they can go on and tell the seller. So that kind of hurts your position there, right? So, but that realtor is also, if they're good, they're going to be trying to find a way to make it work for you. So, you know, also the other way around is if they're representing the seller and the seller says, you know, I'll take $10 for that property, they're not going to go along and tell the buyers that you could offer $10 for this property and he'll take it. So they don't do that. So if you have a buyer representative, that person's kind of minding your confidential information, right? They're working together with you to make an offer that is the best for you, that you want, and then presenting that to the other realtor, and then the other realtor's got to present that to the seller. But, you know, the advantage of working with the listing licensee, the person whose name is on the sign, that person, it cuts through a lot of the back and forth, and you can kind of, you get the opportunity to kind of get your offer right the first time. And that by right, I don't mean exactly what the seller wants. I mean, you know, more in line with what both parties want. So there's less back and forth. And if you're in a competing situation, that's good. So having a buyer representative is great for going around and looking at all of the properties in the MLS, everything in the market. That person's helping you search. They're setting up showings for you. They're scheduling and putting them together geographically and showing houses to you and stuff and helping you decide what works the best for you. And that's where having your buyer representative really shines. The other thing that I want to say about both of these situations is don't switch in the middle. I mean, nothing gets realtors more riled up than having people just say that they love a house and, by the way, I'm going to make my offer with somebody else. So don't do that. The person who shows you the house in the beginning is the person that should write the offer, unless you have some really terrible, some kind of a thing that comes up that where you can't, where you just feel like you can't do it. Don't, because the person who shows you the house, they're the procuring cause of the sale, right? If you decide that you want to buy it. So don't decide, okay, now I should have buyer representation. And this comes up sometimes because lenders who are overstepping their boundaries will say, you know, you look at a house with the realtor whose name is on the sign, the listing licensee, listing agent, then they go to the bank to get pre-qualified, and they'll tell that sometimes they overstep their boundaries and they'll tell you, you really should get your own buyer representation. And I don't know why they say this, because like I said, it's a complicated issue and there are pluses and minuses to both. But the very most important thing is to, you know, make your decision and stick with it. So if you're only interested in one house, or, you know, you've got a realtor that you've been working with and they've been showing you houses and you decide the one that you really like is one of their listings, stick with that person unless there's a really, really good compelling reason not to. And then you got to work it out with them and the other realtor that you're getting involved in it and make sure. So the other option is what we call a neutral licensee. And there's a scary form that the state has you sign if you're going to do pre-authorized neutral licensees. It's called a waiver of right to be represented. So in a neutral licensee kind of a situation, let's say you've got a contract with a realtor to look at houses. They're going to show you everything on the market. And then you decide, hey, the house that I really like is this one that you've got listed. I want to make an offer on that one. So that realtor has got a contract with you. They've got a contract with a seller. We used to, and I'll go into this next, but we used to have agency law that allowed for dual agency. We don't have that anymore. Now we have Now the state law has decided, and this is based on Colorado, I think, is the first one that did this, that you can't represent both sides, that you take away representation to both sides. So you're a neutral. That just means you don't give away confidential information to either side. You stay neutral. You help the buyer make their offer. You don't give them a bunch of hints about what you think the best, what you think that the seller will take. You don't give the seller a bunch of hints about what you think the buyer qualifies for. This is how I interpret it. There is another line at the bottom of the waiver that says you're allowed to do that stuff, but I'm not comfortable with it. I don't want to be seen to be taking sides if I'm a neutral. And honestly, I don't really do neutral licensee that much. Normally, I represent the seller and assist the buyer. But I still treat it in a similar way. I still am trying to find a way to find a win-win situation for both sides. And I think, you know, that's kind of the way that I was brought up into this real estate world, is to try to find a way that works for everybody, to make everybody happy. So, you know, we were talking just a minute ago here about the way things used to work. So under agency law, this is going back to 2004. Under agency law, the agent always represented the seller. Well, like, let's say, so I'm at RE/MAX, right? A good example of this is I bought a house that was listed by another agent in my office in RE/MAX. The offer was from me and my wife, Jennifer. We made an offer on a house. I had to disclose to myself and to my wife, Jennifer, that I represented the seller. It made no sense. I'd never met the seller. I didn't know that person. And honestly, that would never hold up in a court of law, right? Because I was the buyer. I obviously represent myself, but that wasn't the way real estate disclosure law worked. If the seller was someone in my brokerage, I had to say that I represented them. So now that's all gone, right? We don't have agency law. The other thing was dual agency. So in that case, I was a dual agent representing the seller and the buyer. They had decided back then if the money for the closing comes from the seller, that you represent that person. And that's a flawed way of thinking, because without a buyer, there would be no money for closing, right? So, yes, it comes from the seller's proceeds, but there would be no sale at all if it weren't for the buyer. So, in the new law, they did away with all of that. They said, we're not called agents anymore, we're called licensees. And now, if in that same situation, I would be representing the buyer, and that other realtor would be representing the seller. And if we were in the same office, both at RE/MAX, we would be called designated licensees, meaning the broker designates me to work with the buyer and the other realtor to work with the seller. So that's agency law. I mean, that, and versus the new law is much more cleaned up, but we do have this consumer pamphlet to sign. And I think I talked about the consumer pamphlet a little bit on the last episode. So I think overall the new system is better. You know, there are some things I would change. From what I've heard, the consumer pamphlet that we have to bring to every single showing now is going to be 3 pages instead of 2 pages, which is, you know, boo to that, I guess. So if you're deciding you want to find a good realtor, I think the best way is, you know, not advertising or who's got their face on the most stuff, is to get a recommendation from a friend, you know, look at feedback that from people, you know, or do they have negative feedback or positive, and word of mouth from friends or family. That's huge. Let's see. Don't try to force, you know, I just got put in a situation like this, but don't try to force, your realtor into an area that they're not an expert in. So, the reason I say this is because you know, Fairbanks is 360 miles away from Anchorage, but we just had a realtor from Anchorage who's insisting on flying up to Fairbanks to show houses to his client, because he says that his client only wants to work with him. Now, I looked up this person. He's only been licensed for less than a year. And normally in that situation, if somebody wants me to show houses in Anchorage, I would tell them, I would be doing you a disservice. I don't know the Anchorage market, but I will find you a good person to work with in Anchorage, and I would, you know, I would, and I know people in Anchorage, and I would set them up with somebody who's good. They would pay me a referral fee when it closes. That's not what this person did. This person's trying to find, he contacted me and some other people here at RE/MAX and some other people in another brokerage, and he's trying to get keys to go into houses because he doesn't have access to our MLS. He doesn't have access to our lockboxes. So he's trying to get keys to get into houses, get a realtor to go around with him and open doors for him. He's not going to be using our contract, our Board of Realtors contract. He wants to use the Alaska MLS contract, which we do not use. We're completely separate from their system. He's going to be doing, in my opinion, he's going to be doing that buyer a huge disservice. So yeah, my advice is to don't put your realtor in that situation. Just let them find someone for you if you get into that. So that's it for this episode. If you have any questions or any topics that you'd like me to talk about, you know, I'd love to do more of these. I do another podcast that's pretty big that's not related to real estate. But I like doing this one too. And if you have any topics or any other issues you want to talk about or any questions, just let me know and I will read them for the podcast. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you, everybody. And I hope you have a good weekend. Fairbanks Real Estate Radio is a free podcast by me, Ryan Danhauser of RE/MAX Associates of Fairbanks. I'm an associate broker and 2011 president of the Greater Fairbanks Board of Realtors. I've been in real estate since 2003. You can reach me through my email address, ryandanhauser@mac.com. On Twitter, I'm at Ryan Danhauser, like all one word. There's Fairbanks Real Estate Radio Facebook page, fairbanksrealestateradio.com. If you listen, please give me a review on iTunes or send me your feedback. I'd love to hear your ideas and topics you'd like me to cover. You can also give me a call on my cell phone at 907-978-2607. Thank you for listening.